and ooh, how deep we got in that. It was like sticky for a long time. So one thing that we learned is it was that the woman teaches and some of the bad doctrines that are run by emotion, how it caused the church to stumble, how it caused the church for sin to explode in the body of Christ. We also learned that we need to hold fast to what is true and then wait until the Lord comes. All right. Even as we're seeing these false doctrines rise up in the churches, we're seeing a lot of so-called churches in America being led by females or homosexual females. All right. So a lot of folks that call themselves churches, they're surrounded by that. They're being taught that way, and they're frantically moving away from the righteousness and the holiness of Scripture. All right. And it was a thing that Jesus said he didn't want to happen. He said anybody who goes along with that type of doctrine, he's going to throw them in the bed, and they're going to do horrible things. And her children shall die. The offspring of that false doctrine, they won't have a standing in Christ. And that's what we came to at the end of our study from last week. The one thing to do, again, is to hold fast to sound doctrine. Come back to the Word of God and grab a hold of that with both of your hands, all of your mind, and know what truth is and settle there. All right? And you do that all the way until Jesus comes. All right? You hold fast until He comes. And so that is a message for the church way back then, to the church today. When false doctrines arises, when we see things that are going on in this world that scare us, that worry us, that drag us away from the truth of God, the one and the most important thing is to remember who you are in Christ and hold on to that truth. Amen? Like we said earlier, my two favorite words in the whole Bible is, but God. Things can get really ugly, nasty, furiously evil, but God's still in charge. But God's still on the throne. But Jesus is still covering you, anointing you, surrounding you with His goodness and His grace. Hold on to those two words. When all else seems to fail, God is still in control. Right? Isaiah chapter 60, again, a wonderful verse. Although the shadow of evil is surrounding the world as we know it, it looks like the 10 horns of the revelation of the beast are exploding on the scene, and it looks like they're totally and completely in charge, but God. All right? That lets us know that what we're seeing, what we're experiencing, is not real compared to Scripture. And don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't be pulled away from the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Because if you're not grounded in the rock will fall on you and ground you. You know? So we need to hold on to the truth of what God's Word says. Today we'll be in this, the next church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3. And it's the spiritually dead church. And as we look into that, we're going to open up in our Bibles, if you don't mind, Revelation chapter 3, Church of Sardis. And if anybody wants to read through that, might as well start in verse 1 because it's only 6 verses. And then we'll back up and lay into it.
And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church saith unto the churches.
Amen. And so in this, God knows what's going on again. Every time we come to one of these churches, he He expresses who he is. He's the one who has the seven stars. He says that you have he says, I know thy works, right? Always remember that God really knows what's going on. This church, they thought they were alive, but they were really dead. They thought that they had all the programs running. They had all the strobe lights, electric guitars, and all the things that makes you think it looks alive. But they were actually dead. So they were really zombie Christians. You know, brain eaters. Kind of a walking, living dead. How can a church get in that state?
Well, having one person rule over the church.
Amen. A Nicolaitan spirit.
False teachings.
And to go with false teachings, what stops false teachings from taking root?
Knowledge of the Word.
Amen. Knowledge of the Word. So even if there's a teacher or pastor up there teaching you wrongly, if you have the Spirit of God, you have His written Word, stop him. Amen? Stop him. Her. It. Whatever it happens to be. Alright? But you need to know what the Bible says. So what had happened to this church, they had fallen away, they thought they were alive, they were listening to false doctrine and believing whatever the pastor or the leadership of the church was saying, but they weren't being Bereans. They weren't digging in. They weren't having open discussions like this. You know, where you can see, if I say something wrong, I got Bible scholars in here that will clean my plow. All right? Amen? Which is a good thing. It's a good thing to have. First, it's a good thing to have people that know enough to clean my plow. And the other thing is being humble enough to allow them to clean your plow. Right? And so there's none of us, I don't care how long you've been studying the Bible, I don't care about how much you think you know, you can be wrong. And none of us have got to the point that we're God. All right? Go ahead, brother.
We're all fallible.
He says, I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest, but art dead. So as the world looked at this church, the world thought it was alive. They had a name, you know? Like the pine trees lining the winding roads. I've got a name. Like the singing birds and the croaking toads. I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my father did. Right? Y'all remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
In Jim Croce.
Yeah.
My mind goes back in those places of time. He had a name. This church had a name. They looked alive. So when the world drove by that building, they said, man, look at it. They have a VBS and there's 7,000 kids running around. Boy, they look at them. They got a bake sale and a car wash. They got programs. Oh, they got a lot of folks that go to the girly bar down the road here, but they show up on church on Sundays. Right? They looked alive. Oh, folks, I would rather the world think us to be dead, right, and be alive to God than look alive to the world and be dead to God. He said that you have a name that liveth, that thou liveth. There, so he said, I've heard of that body of Christ. I've heard of that church. Man, that church must be alive. They had a name and the world thought they were, but God looked at them and said, thou art dead. The people who attended that church did not even realize they were dead. They thought they were alive. We're doing mission trips every 7 or 8 weeks. We're going this place. We're going that place. We're doing this. We're doing that. We're feeding the poor. We're taking care of business. And Jesus said, not everybody who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the gates of heaven, but he that doeth the work of my Father, the will of my Father. You'll come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many great works in thy name? Jesus says, I never knew you. You looked alive. You were a part of the church. But you were dead the whole time. The difference between confession and conversion. This church confessed Christ. They confessed that they were alive, but really deep inside they weren't. He says, be watchful and strengthen those things which remain. Now catch this. Be watchful. What does that mean?
Be on guard.
Yeah, right? Be on guard. Be watchful. Be have your head looking around all the time. Go ahead, Rob.
Discerning might be a good word.
Discerning. Yeah, be discerning. Make sure that what you're learning, what you're believing is in the Bible. Right? It needs to be true, because there's a lot of false doctrines out there. There's heresies. There's doctrines of demons. There's the Nicolaitan spirit in most of the church towards as you're getting towards the end of the age. Right? We're getting towards the end of the age here. And we're seeing a lot of churches that say that they're alive. Man, they got a $50 million a year budget. But they don't care for one another. They don't live as Christ asked them to live. It's not the size of your church that makes it matter. Really, it's the size of the heart that is in the church that makes it matter. And he says, strengthen those things which remain. And just a little FYI for you guys, when God called me into the ministry, and I was called, I did not want this. I never went to a cemetery school, whatever you want to call it. Never went to that kind of stuff. I have a pardon?
I said, amen.
Amen.
I mean, really, seriously, you may have gotten totally turned around in seminary.
False doctrine.
Seriously, it happens a lot of times.
We've sent young men to Bible colleges, one that's really close to here over in Troon Lake, and he went out on fire for God, and he came back extinguished. Mm-hmm. You know? He got married, anyhow, that's beside the point. A lot of times, you get involved in the education and learning all of the ways to preach and all of the programs about teaching and never really learn about the God of the teaching. So praise God. I when I was called to start the ministry, something that God really laid on my heart, and he still does, is to strengthen those things which remain. There are a lot of folks who cannot stand sound doctrine. They just don't like it because it's not comfortable to hear that you might get your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. He says, well, right here. Right? They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that just because it feels good, you shouldn't do it. You know, a lot of people just do not want to settle underneath that where the Bible says, be holy because I am holy. God's serious about that. He wants the church to be a virgin, holy, pure, just. We're not supposed to look like the world, right? Think of how many bad doctrines started because the church wanted to pull the lost into the church, so they started looking like the world. I want the young people to come to church, so I'm going to start having rock and roll shows. Right? I want the young people to come to church, so we're going to have a sports program. And really, all you need is to preach the gospel. God will bring who he wants to come. It's not our job. Go ahead, brother.
I think it's not always a knock on somebody going to Bible colleges. It's when people, it's when the saints go under a teacher, like the disciples went under Jesus, the apostles went under Jesus Christ, and Timothy went under Paul,
right.
And the early church fathers, they were actually under the direct influence of John and Paul and Clement and people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that if there is the teacher who loves and is fervent and walks with the Lord and takes those people under his wing. And that's where the work is really done.
Yeah.
When they become his students.
His students, yeah.
Yeah.
See it
firsthand.
Right. You're not supposed to be my disciple.
Right.
Okay? You're supposed to be disciples of Jesus.
Right.
And to be a disciple of Jesus, who do you got to love?
Follow me as I follow him.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Yeah. Go ahead, my sister.
Okay, 1 John 2, starting in 15.
Yep.
Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in him.
Yeah.
For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever.
Amen. Now, very important, the one who does the will of God. Which brings you to think, what is the will of God? What is God's will for humankind in this time that we're living in? What does God want His body to do?
Be conformed to His image.
Be conformed into the image of Christ.
Right.
What does, I mean, those are real good Bible answers, but what does that look like on the ground? All right? Because we can say that, but if you don't know what that means, what good does it? Right? So what does it mean to be conformed into the image of Christ, to do the will of the Father? Jesus.
We've got to love each other.
Amen.
And be there to iron sharpen iron.
Yes.
And grow stronger in the Lord.
Right. This is the will of the Father, Jesus said several times in the Bible, one of which was to seek and save the lost. Strengthen those things which remain here in Sardis. Seek and save the lost. What does that mean? How do you do that? How do you go out and seek and offer salvation to somebody who doesn't even know they're lost?
God brings that into your life. As you live day by day.
Yes. Because it's not about work, right?
He brings those people, brings those circumstances. You just have to be ready to share.
Right. That is what she said. Did y'all hear what she said? God brings it. Remember, Jesus said, I will build my church. It's not up to us to do that. You know what is up to us? To know this, right? What did you say, sis?
Be available.
To be available, right. Know the Word of God, be available, and when God brings those people into your life that are in need of hope, that are in need of love, of joy, or those, go ahead, sis.
Okay. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour what you ought to say.
Amen. Right. Don't study. So you study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto man. See, Satan doesn't care how many Bible verses you memorize. You can memorize the whole Bible. If you don't apply them, you're better use for him if you know it and don't use it than if you use it as well as you know it. You know, just use it as well as you know. And you don't have to be memorize every single scripture in the Bible. Study, read it, understand it, and then God will bring people in your path. Those folks who need it. Often we get all caught up in these crusades, evangelistic crusades, or tent meetings. And don't get me wrong, tent meetings are fine. They bring a lot of people. I'm not throwing stones at them because God does His work. And if that's what the fellow's called to, praise God for that. But how about the churches? How about the people in the seats beside you, sitting beside you in the pew, that are dying on this side? Go ahead, brother.
The next line in the United States.
Yeah, it really
is. For I have not found your works perfect before God.
Yeah.
When a church turns to serving their own, doing their own works,
First
of all, they turn into themselves. They turn what God is intended to pass through you unto others.
Yeah.
They've taken hold of and focused on themselves, and they begin to do their works. Those works are never perfect before God.
Right.
What you're saying with the Holy Spirit leads you in works that He will do through you, unto others.
Amen.
And He Himself sets before us, even through communion, He sets before us the desire that His Father will fill Him with the light that He desires to pour into you.
Yeah.
And it never ends. That river of life never ends. The more He pours into us, the more we seek Him and He pours into us, the more the Father pours through Him.
Yeah.
And in turn, for generation after generation, it's never intended to us, it's intended through us.
Right. And so what happens when we quit getting it out? When we put a dam there?
It quits coming in.
Quits coming in. It becomes stagnant.
It becomes an ism right there.
Yeah.
While you're playing wrong.
Amen. Absolutely.
It is the same stuff that has no...
Has no meaning. Has no depth. Yeah.
Yeah.
You turn it into a word salvation.
Word salvation. Yeah.
Like so many churches.
Which is not salvation at all.
No.
You and me.
I heard a long time ago, if you sit in church and listen, you know, you get to become a sponge.
Yes.
And after a while, the sponge starts to stink.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You got to bring it out clean. Yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead.
Go back to one nurse because, well, I am suffering from diet. Well, this week we did like a one thing for sort of science, and we were doing rocks, and it said that diamonds don't get happen to get sharpened by diamonds first.
Yes, you can only cut a diamond with a diamond.
It's like the first iron sharpening a diamond.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that there, that iron sharpening iron, it knocks off the rust. Who, anybody know some rusty Christians? Well, you know why they're rusty? It's because they're not close enough to each other to knock the rust off. You know, you got to get right up next to each other. You got to get, I need to be in your business, you need to be in my business. Right? You need to know me good enough that you can come and say, hey, Pastor, there ain't something right in your life right now. All right? I need to be close enough to you to come along beside you and say, hey, there's this thing, or anybody in the body of Christ ought to be able to come to you. Don't come to me. If you got something from, you're experiencing something, you know something, you want to come talk to me about someone else, I'm going to send you to them. All right, because that ain't none of my business. All right, that's gossip. I got enough drama without your drama. Okay? So, if you got a problem with somebody, or somebody got a problem with you, you go to that brother. You go to them. It's not about, don't bring it to the deacon. Don't bring it to me. Don't bring it to your pastor. Well, so-and-so did such and such. Man, suck it up. Go talk to them. Yeah, my sister. I'm sorry.
No, fine. But one of the saddest things that I'm hearing from people all the time now that used to go to church.
Yeah.
It's how much they like being at home now.
Oh,
they just stay home, because of these new times that we're in, that they just stay home and they just love it.
Yeah.
And they're no longer going to church.
Right. And you know what that stops?
We can't sharpen each
you
other.
You can't sharpen. I can't pray for you. Go ahead.
We go to 1 Corinthians 14, starting in the verse of 26. How is it then, brother, when you come together, every one of you has a song, has a doctrine, and has a tongue, has a revelation, and has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speaks in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most three. And by that, of course, let be one interpretation. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Let him keep to himself. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let others judge. If anything be revealed of another that sitteth by, let him hold first his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that ye all may learn and be comforted.
Mm.
Now, if you're not studying your word,
right,
you can't come to this gathering and bring in a message from this one, a message from that one.
Right.
Okay? We're here to hear what Pastor Curtis has got to say to me, so I'll go on.
Right. And please, never come here to say what I hear. Never come here to hear what I have to say. Because what I have to say ain't important.
Now, I was brought up in a brethren church like that.
Right.
There was no pastor in front. And this man over here would speak something. And this man over here might speak something, and then somebody would give a song or a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got done, it was a message. But the Holy Spirit was leading the whole story.
This,
and right, right. We're 35 miles apart. We didn't talk Sunday before.
Yeah, before FaceTime. Right?
One more thing that has come to me many times. I'm on my way to Congress Avenue. Okay? It's 28 miles from home. My daughter asked me about something in the Bible, and I give her my answer. And I know to myself that it's not good enough.
Yeah.
But it's my answer. We're in the middle of the worship service, and Mark White, who's over here, and he lives the other side of Veronica White, stands up and he starts preaching on what she asked
him. Yeah. Ooh.
And she says on the way home, did you hear Mark White? It was just like he was sitting in the back seat when we were coming to church. And I said, do you know who was in the back seat?
Yeah.
That was the driver's seat. The Holy Spirit knew that this was important to you.
Yeah.
And you needed to hear exactly what you needed to hear.
And we tried that. You know, I don't want to stifle anybody or the Spirit of God that lives in anybody in this congregation.
Well, we're doing it here.
Yeah, right. That's what this is.
Yeah.
There are very few bodies of Christ in my life where you have the opportunity to speak what the Spirit is saying to you throughout a gathering. You know, but you're right. That's how it's supposed to be. But first, you've got to make sure that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, because if not, you can have weird things that are said, okay, that are not in the Word of God, you know. So don't lay hands on any man premature, you know. So there's a truth to that, but there's also great danger in that, because you can have a respected person in the congregation that hasn't read his Bible, and he stands up and he gives you the Democrat Chronicle definition of something, you know. And so there's the discerning of the spirits, right, and listening to that. Here in this church, he said, God said, I know your works are not perfect; they're not mature before me. In every body of Christ, there's in the body of believers, not everybody is mature. And I'll have you guys know, I haven't made it. I am not in heaven yet. I don't know it all. In fact, most of the stuff I do know, I'm probably wrong. Okay? Just to be honest. I try to study the Bible and tell you what's in it. But sometimes I get on my own horse and start riding that horse. And when I get on my own horse and start riding it, I normally go off on a tangent like I'm doing now. And so here in this church, he says, your works are not perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received, verse 3, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. Here's the fix for it. Remember what thou hast heard. Remember the old teaching. Right? What is it? In Isaiah, where it says, don't move the old markers. Isn't that Isaiah? Don't move the old boundaries, the old markers. Because God's boundaries never change. They're always the same. See, but in a modern church, they move the boundary just a little bit. Now, yeah, God put the line right here. And we've been living right here real close to it. But we're just going to pick this boundary up. We're going to step right over here and set it down. We'll be safe. There's a little slack in the fence. We can do that. No. No, you can't. Because God's going to judge you because you moved his marker. This is God's marker right here. Remember what the Bible says. Remember what truth is. Who truth is. And hold on to that truth. Go ahead, sis.
It's not just about hearing it, though. You have to receive it.
Amen.
It says you have received and heard. So you're receiving it first and then hearing it.
Right.
So you can hear all kinds of stuff going on in the world.
Yeah.
But if you're not receiving, you're not hearing.
Right. Here's a great example of that. Thanks for pointing it out. Someone hears a message, right? And they say, boy, I wish that brother so-and-so would have been here to hear that. Okay? Right? That person that was supposed to receive it, didn't receive it. They thought someone else deserved it. All right? And it wasn't for brother so-and-so because he wasn't there. All right? It was for you. That message was for you. Can you receive that message? Can you hold on to the truth of that and make adjustments to your life to what the Word of God says? Amen? I take it that y'all are experienced that. I saw you giggling real hard.
I come from a very neat family.
Yeah, okay. That's why you did the show. Amen. But remember how thou hast received. All right, so the first thing to ask yourself is, have you received? All right, have you received the teaching? Have you received the doctrine? Not just heard it, and not just confessed it, but actually received it. Have you taken the seed of God's Word into you and allowed it to start to grow? So you're right, sis. You have got to receive it first. Well, how will they hear unless somehow? Well, wait a second, let's go back a couple of verses there. How will they be saved? It's Romans 9:10 or 10:9.
I think that's what that point now is the path that was put forth. If we remember, because it says remember how you have received. Remember the structure. Remember that how it happened. By the grace of God, your eyes are open. If we remember back to our own salvation, all of a sudden there's a curiosity. By the grace of God, God speaks into you and builds a curiosity, a need,
a hunger,
and an understanding of that you're going the wrong way.
Yes.
That's the first part. But then there has to be before you somebody who will speak the word.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying it's by the grace of God, by believing of the Spirit, that those will receive.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to get out there and talk to them as I place before you my works, not your works, as it says in the line before, but His works. We can never do our own works. We have to be led by the Spirit into His works.
Yes.
And I think He set forth that structure there to say, remember that. It was by grace that you opened your eyes, that you were curious.
Right.
But then somebody spoke it to you. And
yeah.
then you received it.
Which
go and do these things again. Go and seek these people out and do them again.
Right.
That's what I want you to do. I don't want you to look into the inside of your church and just build it into a big clanging gong.
Clanging gong, yeah. How will they receive if they have not heard, and how will they hear without a preacher? Right? That's Romans 10, somewhere around there. And so, how will they preach unless they're sent?
Mm-hmm.
So, that God creates the hunger, the curiosity in somebody's heart, right? In the church's heart, you're curious. Man, this I heard about this salvation thing. Is it real? I know my life is not matching up what it needs to be. I'm caught in too many snares of this world. Mm-hmm. How do I get out of it?
Go ahead. That is Romans 10:14.
Is it 10:14? Yeah. Praise God.
If anybody might be looking for it.
Good deal. It was in my mind. I don't know addresses real well. If I didn't live in my house, I would be lost. How do I get there? At the third house past house down the tomato patch. And so, that type of thing. And so, you need to understand that this receiving and this hearing, it is all the gift of God. Right? The hunger, the desire to know God does not come from us. The Bible says that no man seeketh after God. How many men?
No
man. Unless the Father calls him, he can't be saved. Unless the Spirit of God is moving in you, on you, reaching down into your darkness, you can't even comprehend that there's a need of a Savior. Oh, but when He opens that door, when He opens that understanding and creates that desire, that realization of how sinful I am and how holy He is and how He wants me to change. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you.
Well, Christ said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw
all men. Yeah. And so
there is a drawing out of that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
How they respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And what he brought up about structure.
Yes.
What I did is I got born again and I started reading the New Testament. I went through it like six times in a row, one right after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the amount of fulfilled prophecies, the emphasis. And I'm like, well, that's profound.
Yeah.
My grandmother was a Christian. My dad didn't believe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I've never heard this idea in my life, you know. And I thought, man, that should be out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by studying the New Testament, I see that there was a pattern. There's almost like a cookie cutter pattern of structure laid out.
He's the same yesterday,
today, forever. Amen. Yes.
The structure of the early church and the apostles was to show Christ out of the prophecies that he fulfilled.
Right.
And, you know, after he was resurrected in Luke 24, he had two Bible studies with his apostles,
right,
showing them
the
all
the
things.
The road to the
yeah, that was one thing.
Emmaus, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, and but anyway, in that chapter, it's real profound.
Yeah.
They were shown all that he fulfilled through the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.
Yeah. I wish that one of those guys would have been a scholar who wrote that Bible study down. What a talk that would have been.
Yeah.
6 hours walking with the Lord, and he's just telling you these things, you know.
Right. In Revelation 19:10 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No. And then the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15.
There you go. That's
he declares
going.
The gospel, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture.
Yeah.
And all they had was the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But it was a fulfillment.
Mm-hmm.
And that he rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. And Christ said it as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights. So it was Son of Man being the heart of the earth.
Yeah.
And he said to Nicodemus in John 3, which we always hear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right?
But how long has he been lifted up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before he tells him that, he tells Nicodemus,
mm-hmm.
you know, that about Numbers 21,
right,
where Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole.
Yeah.
And anybody that got bit by the venomous snakes,
if they look like they
would be saved.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we always have this idea, New Testament, Old Testament, and I spoke about this a couple weeks ago. There's the Testament, all right, from Genesis to the Revelation, through the Revelation. I know that there's the 400 years of silence and all that kind of stuff, but still, it was God from the beginning to the end. It is the Testament of God.
Even with the plagues he did in Egypt,
mm-hmm.
he prophesied through Moses for each one.
Right.
I mean, he prophesied all through the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So if you follow me and obey my commandments and statutes, you'll be blessed.
You'll be blessed. And if you don't,
you're cursed. And it just
and America hasn't. And we are starts with C and ends with cursed.
Cursed.
All right. We're cursed. Okay. And it's not because God does not change. His statutes have not changed. His expectations have not changed. America started out as a holy nation when the pilgrims came over. That's what they were here for. But we have moved so far off the foundation. You know,
we just keep moving the line.
We came in. That's what we take that boundary and move it over.
You realize the revolt that would have been if you took this line and moved it all the way over there?
Yeah.
But if you move it a half an inch today,
time. Yeah.
Nobody notices the difference.
Yeah. And so we're being trampled to death by tortoises. Small, methodical, yes.
And we all know that symbol on the pole is still used, right, for medical?
Mm-hmm. For medical stuff, yeah.
And think about how they used to be, hospitals were nuns and, you know, spiritual people that were healing people and taking care of them, but now it's UMR.
Yeah. And there ain't very much godliness there, you know.
That's the bit, the eroding, the bit by bit.
Yeah.
So I'm always late to my work night.
I know, we love
that. So I apologize that this has already gone over. But you guys all know the history of Sardis, correct?
Right.
Sardis was this city where all the traffic came through and they were rich and wealth.
Yes.
They were up on this whatever cliff, something with three sides of it, and nobody could attack them from three sides.
Right.
Only the front. So
they're
like a picture of today because they thought they had they had everything like America, the riches. They thought they had the safety. They thought you've probably gone through all that, and that's why God was like, you're dead.
Yeah.
It was only a tiny remnant.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like what's going on today. All dead. with a little tiny remnant,
yeah.
really knows that God is one. And you know, it was destroyed.
Right.
It was actually destroyed. They didn't think they did ever, but I can't remember how it was that they actually got on the cliff. But they destroyed it. God was like, go
yeah.
let them over. And it feels like Sardis is like, flop, America right
mm-hmm.
now. And if we turn our backs on Israel, which already Biden has
yes.
this treaty, I think, with Islam.
Yeah.
So that's going to come.
And yeah, the one thing that America has done ever since its onset was stand with Israel. Okay.
Yeah.
Ever since the 1770s, right? We have always been a friend of Israel. But we are going to be underneath a socialistic government here in just a couple weeks. All right.
Days.
Yeah.
It's going to be day one.
Right. And the things that we have taken for granted are about ready to be taken away. And as a church, remember, but God.
Okay.
But God. Yeah. Now, there is a remnant, but that remnant, we're going to have to go through this thing. There's no way to get around it. You know, you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you can't get around it. We're going to have to walk right through the center of this thing.
Amen.
No matter what we do, you're right. This is
the
time to get
there, whether it's before, mid, late, whatever.
Yeah.
We're
going. Yeah. Right? The gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. Look.
Let's not forget that they're not all of Israel that are of Israel.
Oh, amen. That's
and
true.
There is a synagogue of Satan.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of this is an evil world.
Which is just like the church, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody who claims to be Christian is Christian.
Right.
You ask anybody, you go down to the bar, the stripper joint up here, and ask folks if they're Christian, they'll say, yep, sure am. Right?
And that's changed over the last 60 years.
Well, they finally got different girls.
Well, but if you were a Catholic, you were called
yes.
a Christian, and you wanted to be called a Christian,
yeah.
you called them a Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, today they all are one.
Yeah. Ecumenicalism?
Ecumenicalism.
Yeah. There's one God and there are many ways to one. You know? You can be a Buddhist, you can be anything except a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know?
I'm not one of those fellows.
Yeah.
He told me, don't talk to God to me. He goes, because I've taught him all. He goes, there's many ways to God. I said, you know what? You know it all. I'm off. I'm out of here.
See ya. I was told not to cast my pearl before the swine. So, that type of idea. And he says, remember where thou hast, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. There's the fix.
And they're standing before God and saying, I knew it!
Yeah, you knew. There's no reason that a person, as many Bibles as we have in America, that people...
There's no...
I mean, okay, now this is very risky. A few years ago, I asked this question amongst the body of believers here. How many of you have ever read the Bible from cover to cover? And when we asked that, only a few, and I think there was two that were coming to this church, had ever read, there's a lot of them read the New Testament, but very few of them could tell you anything about Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Leviticus, Numbers. They didn't tell you nothing about those books. They could tell you the stories of how David, you know, or how Noah built an ark and arkies.
Didn't
they know the famous one that yes. that is well known? Mm-hmm. Not the ones that say, if you sin against me, I will kill you. I will wipe you off the face of the earth. I will remove you from the land. And so many people who call themselves Christians have never read the entirety of the Word. So you only know the
Yeah, we're reading the Bible.
Amen. Praise God. And we have how many years has it been? Huh? Five? Since we did it, because we did that. Yeah, not for you. So it was 9 years, yeah, when we first started the church. And I realized that there's a need for people to read the fullness of Scripture. Not just the New Testament, but read the whole thing. If you got a love letter from your sweetheart, would you only pick it up in the middle? Or just pick out the verses or the words you want to hear? No, yeah, I mean, if it's like y'all been separated for a long time or whatever, and you have these letters, these passionate letters, you read every, from the address. You read the whole thing. Read the postmark. You read it all. But so many people in the, as Christians have never read the fullness of the Word of God.
We haven't been taught, correct?
Yeah, amen.
We weren't taught to read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there's a huge church, Andy Stanley, mm-hmm. all right, and many other of the mega churches that say you don't need the Old Testament Scripture. Yeah, you know, that's not for us. That was never meant for us. The Ten Commandments don't matter to us. We're under the new covenant of grace. Go ahead, sleep with your sister. It's okay. Right? Go ahead and eat dog food. It doesn't hurt. I eat dog food.
That's what a relationship is. Give mm-hmm. and take, good and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the next thing that Jesus says here to that church, still in verse 3, if thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come upon thee.
And he sure did.
Mm-hmm. And he sure is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Again, Jesus, what is it?
Look at history.
Matthew 24. Jesus said, I'll come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians, he says, I'll come as a thief in the night. I believe this in 2 Timothy, talks about coming as a thief. Go ahead, sis.
Well, so can I? So I have a question to ask then.
Mm-hmm.
It says, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will mm-hmm. come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee.
Yeah.
If therefore thou shalt watch.
There you go. Come on.
Yes. Is that saying
that you don't know? Well, I tell you what, I think that this group of believers right here have a better understanding of what time it is right now than 99% of the church.
Right. Well, that's what I'm wondering, if that's what, you know, when you say that the other way, then if you do watch, you are going to know when I am coming.
Yeah. My brother.
You know the seasons, but you may not know the day and hour. But Noah was warned.
Yeah.
So was Sodom and Gomorrah before destruction came.
Absolutely.
But they weren't told the day and the hour.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Noah knew it was coming and probably sometime this week.
Yeah.
But he didn't know exactly when God was going to do
it. Well, he knew that the ark was nearly finished. All that we had to do was, and he knew that the animals were coming on by themselves. He wasn't out there like doing the roundup, dinosaur roundup. Come on, Rex, let's go. You know?
Well, God said, yet 7 days.
Yeah.
He would bring the flood. So
thank you. Yet 7 days. That's true. I didn't think about that. So God, and the Bible says that the Lord won't do anything without his prophets knowing him. Now, go ahead, Rob.
I think Asha is saying, this is how it's going to come if we're not aware. Like if somebody tells you, there's going to be somebody going to come to your house one night, you'll just be aware of it. But if you're not aware of it, that's how it's going to appear. Somebody's going to come and just...
Yep. Well, isn't that exactly what Jesus said? And, that he's going to come, the bridegroom. Well, he talked about it in the parable of the 10 virgins. He comes when they're not ready. You know, they've all fallen asleep. He talks about that as the thief comes in the night. And if the man would have known what hour the thief would have come, he would have been prepared.
Right.
All right? All of those parables, all of those stories hold one thing, that Jesus is coming back. But if you're watching, if you're aware, you will not be caught unaware. Right? Keep your eyes open. There are very distinctive markers in God's Word that lets you know what time it is. All right?
Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 2, you got to see the Antichrist first.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be a falling away. And then as the church falls away from sound doctrine, and we looked at that, because what falling away looks like is in 2 Timothy, I believe, that perilous times shall come, they will not stand for sound doctrine, and these things will be happening. And you see it happening more and more. Well, those are happening more than they've ever happened in the history of the church.
Which gives a new meaning to John 10:10. Mm-hmm. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill.
Yeah.
I am come that you might have life
and have more abundant. Yeah.
So I'm still.
Yes.
Okay, can I just read this one? Yes. Taking it the other way?
Yeah, please.
If therefore thou shalt watch, mm-hmm. and pick up the notch,
yeah.
I will not come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee.
Well, the only problem with that is what Jesus said earlier, that no man knows the hour, not even the angels in heaven, the Father only, not even the Son. For the Father. Go ahead.
But Daniel, it says the little horn Antichrist will make war against the saints for times
and a half.
Revelation 13:5 says for 42 months.
Yep.
So wouldn't we, I mean, so almost like not the exact moment,
yes.
but
right.
we that very close, like that hour,
yeah.
not the minute and
I'll
the second.
I'll tell you, the hour.
Okay.
Now that makes a lot of sense.
But if you compare an hour to a second,
There's a huge difference.
But you're
prepared
because
you're watching. Yes, you're watching, you're waiting. That's why when people, I talk about the end times, I strive to train people to go for 7 years, okay, for the whole tribulation period. A lot of folks disagree with that teaching. Well, because I'll never need it. Okay, if you don't need it, praise God, you didn't need it. But if you do need it and you're not trained for it, you're going to be caught unaware. If I train somebody in an athletic event and you need to run 500 meters, I'm going to train you for 1,000 meters. And I'm going to put extra weight on you so that the race that you're going to run will be easily accomplished. You'll have what it takes to make it to the end. Because making it halfway doesn't make it. If a runner or a sprinter quits 3/4 of the way, still no prize for it.
Yeah. You're watching for Christ, you're abiding.
There you go.
That's a natural. I mean, you're better be focused upon him.
Right. And what are we focused on? If we're more focused on this election cycle or socialism in America or our Constitution finally being lost.
False prophets. Oh,
my sister. Come on with that. How many false prophets are there out there?
They're coming out of the woodwork now.
Mm-hmm.
Exposing themselves.
Yeah.
I asked my friend, why am I not having dreams? I have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, only certain people
can. Go ahead, Mom. You've got something.
No, I was agreeing. I was
okay.
in agreement with him.
Yes.
With him about where we're truly watching. Are we watching what's going on around us?
Mm-hmm.
Are we watching for the kingdom come?
Right.
We know that the Lord speaks many times that he turns his people back to him. When they become a remnant within a population, he turns them back to himself through the famine and through the disciplines that come upon them. We should be thankful that these disciplines are coming,
mm-hmm.
because he does a new work. If we look through all the books of Kings and Chronicles, he begins a new work many times, and he reestablishes his people. But it comes down to a remnant before that takes place. And I believe we're at that point now, possibly, very possibly. It should be exciting to us that something big is going to happen.
Right.
We're the big. Maybe the end, maybe not, doesn't matter. Maybe just a reawakening. But either way, something big is getting ready to happen right now. Huge. These churches, the bodies wouldn't be reforming like they're reforming right now. We've stayed the course from the early 60s on through up until just a year or two ago, 3-4 years ago, and all of a sudden something new has come forth.
Yeah.
True biblical understanding.
Right.
We should be excited for that.
Yeah.
These things are going on in the world don't mean signal.
Diddly.
Yeah, they don't really mean anything.
Yeah.
So they're basically distractions.
Yes, they are. They should be a witness to us that God is moving.
Right.
You know, that God is, that His power is coming.
That's right. Only in the latter rain.
Yeah.
I think Acts is going to happen again.
Right.
Only in the latter rain.
There's an early rain and there's a latter rain. And I'm seeing that more and more because inside of the ones who are really born again, converted, there is an excitement that has not been in the body of Christ for a long time.
As the darkness increases, the righteousness of God increases more so.
Right. You still got questions, Ash?
No.
Ash?
No. Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you.
That goes along with it.
Okay.
He's passing notes.
Well, you want me to read it?
You want me to read it? We got time for it, right? Yeah. I don't know where you're at.
It's First Thessalonians 5. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman and a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief.
There you go. That's where the key is. You are not in darkness, that it should overtake you as a thief. If you're walking in the light as He is in the light. Okay? There's an if that goes along with that. That's not in that scripture. But Jesus said, I am the light. And if you are walking in the light as I am in the light, then you will not be caught by the darkness. The problem is many people in the church in the past 100 years in America have been walking in the shadow of light and not in the actual light. They've been walking in the dusk of the day, not really opening their Bible, not really studying the fullness of God.
So then they're still in darkness.
Then they're still in darkness, yeah. You can be in twilight and still be in darkness, absolutely. You know, God didn't call us to that, though. He called us to be exposed, fully exposed in the bright shiningness of God in His Word. And so, He says, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt... too many words close together. I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour when I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Caledonia, Rochester, which have not defiled their garments. Understand that. There's still a few. Mm-hmm. Amen? There's a remnant, right? There's always a remnant. There's a few that have not defiled their garments. Out of that big town of Sardis, that where there were possibly hundreds of thousands of people living there, even in the seat of Satan, there were still a few.
But it says defiled their garments.
Yeah.
So they had to have the garments.
Yeah. Amen. Because it's going to talk about what your name out here in a minute. Right? That had not defiled their garments. So how do you get the garment of righteousness? The garments that matter. Because he's not talking about delusions.
You're invited.
Amen.
You're invited. It says very clearly you're invited to the wedding feast.
Yes.
And if you refuse it, you'll invite others.
Yeah. And remember that one who came to the wedding feast that did not have his garment?
He was never invited.
Never invited.
So how did he have it?
How did he get to the feast without?
No, how did he have the white garment and then not have it?
Well, actually, that guy never had it. The one who came that wasn't invited. Right? You got to go to that. Where is that? That's in it's Matthew.
Yeah,
they would
still go with Lord, Lord.
Yeah, they would still go. Yes. Absolutely.
Be lukewarm.
Yeah, lukewarm. Yeah. Right? Plain church.
Yeah.
I call them plastic Christians.
Yeah.
You know, they look like Christians. Or Jesus talked about the wheat and the tares.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of time, He's going to send angelic hosts, and they're going to separate the real church from the fake church.
Yeah.
Right? There's, go ahead, brother.
I think there's a little of that going on at this point.
I think there's a lot of that going on at this point. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we're coming to the end of this dispensation, and it may be a long time still, I don't know. I doubt it. I hear the rumbling, right? And I see the structure that man has made that is off of the rock of Jesus Christ. Wow, thank you, Lord, for even thinking of this. All right, if you're going to build a structure, a building, you have a foundation, All right, so you start building on that foundation, but you don't use a plumb line. Amos 5, I think it is. I have set a plumb line, and I will not pass by it again, right? And so God has made this foundation. He says, I got a plumb line from heaven of righteousness, holiness, the way that you're supposed to be. Well, we started building something outside of that plumb line. And we've continually built it outside of that plumb line. How long is it going to be before that wall falls? Right? And every time, if you're building to a plumb line where that thing breaks, is just below where you got off track. Right? If you're building something and you start building it off of the foundation, it'll go for so long, and then that'll fall. The only thing that will stand is the foundation and the first couple of rows that were put up because they were built plumb. Everything off of that falls down. The church in America has been building off of the foundation of Jesus Christ for 100 years. Yeah. You know, give or take a few. You know? We've been building on doctrines of demons. We've been building on Balaam and the Nicolaitans and Nicolaitia. See how my mind goes? Jezebelian church. We've been building that way for a long time. And God said, all right, it's going to fall. But there's still a remnant. There's still a foundation that cannot be moved, which is Jesus Christ, the rock upon which the gates of hell shall not prevail. But the rest of it's going to come tumbling down. And it's okay. Just make sure you're on the bottom course. That you're close to the foundation. Because he says that he's coming, and you're not going to know. And there's still a few that have not defiled their garments. There's still a few in Rochester, alright? There's still a few in Caledonia. There's still a few in your town, in your neighborhood. A few that have not defiled their garments. Doesn't say that there's a lot. There's just a few. Just a few. And they will walk with me in white. Praise God for that. For they are worthy. Now, a lot of folks in Christianity says, I'm not worthy. God says you are. If you're walking in holiness, if you are in Him, then you are worthy. What makes you worthy? Christ. He made you worthy. It's because you are not worthy in and of yourself. But with Christ, you are. He that overcometh. And there it is again. Overcoming. Are you an overcomer? Getting off of the false doctrine? Stopping all the other stuff? Fighting that good fight, that spiritual fight within you? Have you come to that point that says, I am going to have victory over my flesh? I'm going to walk in robes of white, and I'm not going to wait till heaven to get there. I'm going to do it now. That's a decision you can make. You don't have to cuss, drink, fight, carouse. You don't have to do all the worst. You don't have to do that. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross and he said, it is finished? Guess what he gave you? Victory over sin. He gave that. You have it. You can do it. Not in you, but through Christ. It is not that you are righteous in and of yourself, but the righteousness of God obeying the truth and the Spirit of God's Word will guide you into 90% of holiness. Right? No! He will guide you into all righteousness, all holiness. You've got to be willing to go that route. A Christian never falls into sin. You know it before you get there. You have both your eyes open. The Holy Spirit's already told you, don't do it, don't go there, don't eat that, don't do that. It's wrong. You're going to hurt me.
Yeah.
You're going to grieve me. And we still just jump right in with both our feet, and then we say, God, save me, I'm covered in blood. All right, how often is that? In my life, it happens a lot. Praise God for His grace. We need to be overcomers. See, it's not how many times you fall down that makes a difference. It's how many times you get back up. And when you fall down, don't fall away. Fall into. See, when you fall down, don't fall and say, well, I've sinned so greatly, God can't forgive me. You fall, like this picture here, this man who's held him, the hammer and the nails. He's fallen into Christ. And God has him. He doesn't take away the hammer and nails out of his hands. My sin held Jesus there. Right? It's meaningful. But I'm an overcomer in Christ. I'm no longer who I used to be. And so I need to continually fight that fight. How quick would it take Satan to make you stumble? Quick as you take your eyes off of Jesus. How fast did Peter sink when he got out of the boat? I don't know how far he walked on the water. The Bible says he walked on water. Could have been 100 yards, could have been 4 feet. I don't know. But I know when he took his eyes off of Christ, he sank.
There you go.
Right? But he said, help me. And right then, Jesus was there. Amen. And the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot his name out of the book of life. So, if you read that on the other side, those who are not overcomers, the same shall not be clothed in white raiment, and I will blot his name out of the book of life. Okay? All right? In your flesh. Who are you walking with? Do you believe that God has the power to blot your name out of his book of life? Does he? All right. Well, I made the confession. I prayed the prayer. I even walked with God for 25 years out of my 80 years of life. I was born again. But I stopped being an overcomer. There was one time I fell. I didn't fall into Christ. I fell away from Christ. And as I fell away from Christ, I continually slid away from Christ. Is what I'm saying there, is that right? Is that wrong? We've got 10 minutes to talk about it. All of eternity rests on the premises of that answer. Do you believe that you can sin, fall away from God? Now we know the scripture that God says, no man can take you out of my hand. No angel. Nobody can take you out of my hand. But does that take your free will away from walking away?
You know, we make choices every day, every minute.
Yeah.
These are the choices that we make when we go towards God or towards the world.
Right. So if you go towards the world, but you're in Christ Jesus, does that give God the opportunity or the right or the duty to blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life? Well, actually, you said something different. Now you're saying no. It can't be one or the other. It's got to be one way or the other. Can you lose your salvation? That's a big question, especially in the Baptist circles.
But did you have that salvation?
Yes. Well, he said
that. What is the definition of salvation?
Ooh, there you go. What is it?
The definition of salvation is that you are a new creation in Christ. You will have the desire to want to know Jesus more and more. You'll just be empty when you don't have Jesus. But when you truly say you truly want to study. So, then we go back to the parable of the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where it was emotional in your head.
Right.
And, oh, yes, I want to know Jesus and everything, but then the hard times come or whatever, and you're punched out.
Right.
Were you really saved?
Yeah.
Were you really, really saved? You're in Christ. And God says, he will be faithful to keep that what you have committed until that day. Again,
that's a good song.
It is, but those are true words.
Yeah.
God says it in his word. He has to keep us. We can't keep ourselves.
Right.
It says that in God's word. But that's where there's such a really, really faith. And there's where the deceit comes from,
so,
because people think they're saved.
Hey, amen. Really people saved. Think that they're saved. So when is a person really saved? Is there any evidences of salvation?
When you have that desire to be like Jesus.
Okay.
You have that
desire?
To believe. All right. You want to please Jesus. You want to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be away from him, because when you start falling, or those days that you feel great and wrong,
it's
a day by day thing.
It is.
We are not promised tomorrow.
Amen.
Our salvation is not secure until we are with Christ.
All right.
It says in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, beginning of chapter 6, we then as workers together with him also plead with you to receive, or not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, this is a living word.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that scripture was written and it wasn't taken out of the Bible. If I read that tomorrow, now is the day of my salvation. And if I read it 2 months from now, now is the day of my salvation.
But I heard in vain in there.
Yeah.
What's that?
In vain.
In vain.
Yes.
So that means that it's not real.
No, it says, we then as workers together with him also plead for you not to receive the grace of God in vain.
All right, so what does it mean to receive the grace of God vainly? There is a real conversion for the soul sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen?
To the finish. Yes.
Right. Because if you fall away before the end, my soul has no pleasure in you. What is that? That's Hebrews.
Yeah. It's a process that we take.
And you're continually being coached by Jim while you're running the range of continuous being coached.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God's speaking with you.
When you take that understanding that we know that we're saved in the end, you're saying you think like God, you know, the end from the beginning.
We think
like that. We don't have that capacity yet. He and he alone is wise. God and God alone is wise to know the end of all things. We have to take it in the understanding that we have. We trust that we're following God day by day. It's a day by day process. Which one of us here? We all know. We all
think. Okay, anything works is going to determine your.
His works, not
righteous.
No,
all
works
do. What a person does.
Huh?
But at that moment, you were saying what a person does.
No.
This is a great discussion because there's a lot of confusion about this. A lot of folks said, well, I got saved so I can go ahead and fornicate all I want, so I can steal, I can do, because I got
saved. That was
a thing. Go ahead, Doug.
How many think that Timothy was probably on the right track, right?
Yeah.
Well, listen to what Paul said to Timothy. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Yeah. So there's a continuing.
You have to continue in this work.
You continue in faith. You continue in righteousness.
Yes, John 15, 1-6.
Yes, you abide. So if you go ahead, Ron.
Because for us it is a day to day event. Only God and God alone knows who has made the end. And it's not for us to know that. No man knows that if it has the mind of God to think that.
So we all have assurance of salvation then.
We have an assurance day by day by day. We know when we're in the Spirit, we know when God, we're definitely abiding in God. We know that. We have because the Spirit bears witness unto us. But the Spirit also bears witness unto us when we fail and fall away. It's the same thing. And when we fall back into God, He bears witness again. There is an assurance that's given to us. We've all experienced that. We've all had the times where we fall away, and we know we fall away. And when we turn back to God, we've all had the assurance in the Spirit when God has received us, His said, it's okay.
How do you know when you're falling away?
When darkness comes out of your heart.
The Holy Spirit does, right? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice.
Yes.
All right? So when we sin and we start falling away, we have the voice of God calling us back. If you do not have that voice of God, check your salvation.
Amen.
Amen.
Might have been a
nice. Pause. Listen for it. I think it's in Philippians. It is not as if I have made it, but one thing I do is I persevere to the high calling of Christ. I lay aside those things, right? Is that
press towards the goal?
Yeah. Or am I getting two scriptures intertangled there?
I have your spirit.
You know, because I do that sometimes. You know, it's But
so who's the one who said, why do I do what I do when I know I should?
That's Paul.
Paul. Yeah.
So what? He wants to say? He was doing what he knew he should have done.
Also said he hoped he made.
Yeah, he also said he hoped
he made.
Yeah. There's, yeah, he said, I hope that I achieve. Right? He was the one who said, it's not as if I have made it,
yes,
but I persevere to the high calling of Christ.
Yeah.
That's still a driving, a hungering, like you were saying, that continual hungering, realizing when you have stepped outside of the covering of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
All right? You sin willfully, and you realize that. And now your prayers have no depth or no height. They're not going anywhere. And when you can sense that, then you have a real relationship with the living God.
All I can think of is the rabbit and the hare.
Uh-huh.
And the race that they ran. The rabbit thought he had it tooth and nail.
Yeah.
He was going to win. But that turtle just kept going. And the rabbit kept
raising back,
and that turtle won. Because when the turtle persevered, he didn't give up.
Yes.
Well, you get so many people that think, I got it, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 10, verse 35 says, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, after you've done his works, not your own, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but to those who believe that to the saving of the soul. Salvation has not taken place 100%. But yet his forbearance walks us through this time until the end by those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Right.
We have started that journey, but we need to endure through this blink of time that we're in unto that salvation.
Which comes to the point, can a person turn away from the grace of God and suffer condemnation?
Well, Hebrews 6 tells you that.
Yeah. Hebrews 6 says that. Hebrews 10, I think, says it.
Hebrews 6, 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Yeah.
How are you enlightened?
Only through God.
And have tasted the heavenly gifts and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost if you're not saved.
Yeah.
If you haven't accepted Christ. And have tasted the good word of God and of the powers to come. If they should fall away, to renew them again to unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh. There is no afresh, and put him to open shame, for the earth which drinketh it, the rain cometh often, and bringeth forth herbs.
Does it say in there that it would have been better if he had not ever known the way of truth than to have known the way of truth and turned away from it?
Peter.
And that's Peter, yeah.
Yeah.
Hebrews 6:11
says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.
Yeah.
So we need to desire that.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And so,
till the end.
How do I know that I am saved? All right, this is what I know, how I know I'm saved. The Spirit of God talks to me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I have communion with God.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and it's not like he goes on to quarters, nothing like that. I read his Bible. He tells me. He shows me truth. I see my sin. He tells me how to recover from that sin. The mercy and the I don't speak in tongues to know I'm saved. It ain't because I got baptized to know I'm saved. There's a real, tangible relationship with the living God.
It's a desire.
Yes. So how about all those folks who call themselves Christians?
You have five sins.
Yes.
Okay, let's just, for example, you've got five sins.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that this is a sin yet. Boy, you see this one's a sin.
Right.
You're working on that with God.
Yeah.
Those sins are still there.
Right.
But you have
to cover past and present and future sins.
Yeah.
He knows our heart. That's where it comes down to. Mm-hmm. He knows our heart.
Yeah.
And when it shows, I believe you. When it says you have that
predestined, chosen before the
foundation of the earth. I am not going to worry for anything. I believe I am secure in him.
Yeah.
Which all brings us back to where we were in verse 5 here.
We're coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Each church, he says, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh.
And he
so
endureth
to the end. Yeah. So this is
the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord.
Amen.
The Helper, the Holy Spirit.
And so